Hello, Blakehurst Anglican. My name is Matt. I'm a student at Moore College. And we were hoping to be on mission with you this week, but as we are all aware, that is not possible at the moment. Well, at least not physically, which is why I come to you in this rather unique format for our church. We're in a rather unique situation, aren't we? Having to ration out toilet paper. People are discovering that working from home is much harder than we might have thought. And we're all trying to figure out ways to stay sane as we self-isolate. And so many things that our culture thought were certain are now being challenged. So many of us thought that we were completely independent, that we didn't rely on anybody else. But that's just been thrown out the window, hasn't it? As we've found out, well, actually, I rely on the stores to provide a lot of my needs. Because I don't know how to grow my food. The foundations of our economic system are being challenged. People are saying maybe universal basic income isn't a bad thing. Can we actually just do global pauses on rents and loans? France has done that, and America's thinking about doing that. And businesses are told whether they're essential or not. I have one friend who works at a shoe shop, and her higher-ups think that they are essential. Are they right? Are they essential? Are hairdressers essential? But perhaps most of all, our culture is constantly being confronted with the reality of death. And for many, it is terrifying. We're going to extraordinary measures to stop the spread of this coronavirus and to save lives. And so some are asking, what happens after death? Where is God in all this? How do we as Christians respond in this newfound situation? What hope do we have? Well, that's what we're going to remind ourselves of today from John 11, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can still gather as your people, even in this unorthodox format. Lord, we pray that you'll be speaking to us through your word, and that we would know the hope and security we have in your Son, Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life. Amen. So we pick up the story in John 11. Jesus has had to leave Judea because he's been teaching and some people didn't like it and they were trying to stone him. So he and his disciples have gone to the Jordan River near where John the Baptist first began his ministry. And as Jesus has been teaching there, he's had to leave some people behind. He has these dear friends in Bethany. It's a small little family of two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus is teaching up in the Jordan when he receives word that Lazarus is sick. Verse 3, he receives this message, Lord, the one you love is sick. They aren't telling Jesus that Lazarus has got the sniffles. No, this is a deadly sickness. I think we're in our current situation, we can understand this passage better than ever. Sicknesses are deadly. This is urgent. Mary and Martha know that Lazarus doesn't have much time and he can easily die. But they've seen Jesus heal before. They know that Jesus can save him. And so Jesus, upon hearing the news, heads right away to heal Lazarus. No, he doesn't. Verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Mary and her sister Martha and Lazarus. Yet when he'd heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, we're meant to feel the tension here. On the one hand, Jesus has said that this won't end in death, so maybe he's just really confident. But on the other, it says that Jesus loves them. And I think we all know that if we have a friend who is sick and we think he's going to die, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We're going to drop what we're doing and we're going to go see them. Yet Jesus stays 2 more days. And we're meant to ask, does Jesus care? He says he loves them, but his actions aren't lining up. Not how we expect. So does Jesus care? That's the question we'll be thinking about as we work through this narrative. And in this narrative, John has purposely slowed it right down. He's slowed it down with 3 conversations before we finally get to the action. And so the first conversation is with his disciples in verses 7 to 16. After waiting 2 more days, Jesus tells his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." His disciples aren't too sure about this. Jesus, have you forgotten that the people there just tried to stone you? It's kind of why we're here now. But Jesus doesn't seem too concerned, but says that Lazarus has fallen asleep and that he must go and wake him up. And so the disciples reply, verse 12, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Now, this is a good sign, Jesus. We don't need to go risking our necks just to see someone who's recovering from sickness. But Jesus had been talking about his death and not normal sleep. Talk about confusing conversations with Jesus. We often give the disciples a hard time for not getting what Jesus is saying. But I think their confusion here is completely valid. If I told you that my friend Benjamin is asleep, you wouldn't think he's dead. Because who talks about death like sleep? Because there's a key difference between sleep and death, which is that if you sleep, much like when you sleep, you get back up again. Life goes on and you keep, if you sleep again, you'll get back up again. It's okay. But when you die, that's it. There's no getting back up again. You only get to do it once. And those who remain behind, split up your stuff and you're done. It's final. In our minds and in the disciples' minds, death and sleep are not the same. But in Jesus' mind, they are very similar. Jesus knows they're confused, and so to clear things up, he speaks plainly to them. "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go down to him." Jesus says he's glad he wasn't there. I think this is something we need to wrestle with. He's glad because he's going to be able to show something that changes the way we understand life. Something so unbelievable that his disciples need to see it. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus is glad Lazarus died. No, I think what it actually says is the opposite. I think what he's saying here is that if he was there, he would never have let Lazarus die. But now that he has, there is this opportunity for belief, to know something profound about Jesus. And so Jesus and his disciples decide to risk their lives and head to Bethany, which is just 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. And so as he arrives, Jesus has his conversation with Martha in verses 17 to 27. They finally arrive and Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. For the mass people out there, yes, it's been a 4-day journey and Jesus only waited 2 days. So even if he'd left straight away, he'd be there 2 days too late. Martha goes out to Jesus and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." In other words, where were you, Jesus? We needed you. Lazarus needed you, but now he's gone. Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. Some words of comfort from Jesus. And Mary, knowing her Martha, knowing her Old Testament, particularly Daniel 12, says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. It's a slight comfort. It's a truth that she knows. But how does it help right now? It doesn't solve the issues. It was just the three of them, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and now Lazarus is gone. And now that he's gone, Mary and Martha are vulnerable. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Here's one of the seven I am statements that you've been working through. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha, who has just seen your brother die, do you believe that whoever believes in me will live even though he dies? It's a very direct question. What about you? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? That whoever believes in him will live even though they die? And I think, surprisingly to me, like Martha says yes. Even before she sees what Jesus is going to do, she says, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world. Now, the Christ was God's promised king who would rule over a kingdom that would never end. And she says, Jesus, you are that king. With that said, she heads inside and tells her sister Mary that Jesus is asking for her. There's people gathered in their home mourning with them, and they follow Mary out, and she goes to Jesus. And Mary, racked with grief, she only gets out one line. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And they're weeping. And Jesus is deeply moved and he weeps. Such that they say in verse 36, see how he loved him. Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. Even though he knows the end of the story. Verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. He still weeps because his friend who he loves has died. There were some there who said, verse 37, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? The answer is yes. Yes, if Jesus had been there, he could have kept Lazarus from dying. But do you see how they view death? They view death as final, as something you can prevent. But once someone has died, there is nothing you can do. But not Jesus. Jesus doesn't see it that way. He sees it more like sleep. And so they go to the tomb. Jesus says, take the stone away. There'll be a stench, they say. He's been dead 4 days. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they roll the stone away, and Jesus prays, and all can hear him, and he says, Father, thank you that you heard me. He said this for the benefit of the people, so that they might believe that the Father sent him. And finally he says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. The dead man came out, wrapped in his grave clothes. They take the grave clothes off and they let him go. This is a world-shattering event. Death is not final. Death is not the end. No one has ever heard of someone being brought back from the dead after 4 days. Someone who could restore the rotting flesh back to the bone. And this is just a sign of what is to come. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he wasn't resurrected. Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in him will live even though they die. The main difference between being raised from the dead and resurrection is that the resurrection life is without end. It is eternal. And Jesus offers it for all who believe in him. Now, this is a great comfort and assurance to all Christians, because we know that when a Christian dies, it is not final. It's like sleep, and they will live again. So when we go to a Christian funeral, there's mourning, of course. Someone we loved has passed, and we don't get to spend time with them anymore. But it's not the same as those who perish without hope, because we know the King who is the resurrection and the life. I remember I watched my grandfather die when I was in year 12. And it was the strangest thing to be in the same room as someone who was alive just moments before, and then they stopped breathing, and then they're gone. It was a sad day for my family. We mourned. But my grandfather was a Christian. And so, while we mourned, we also had joy, because we knew where he was. That because he believed in Jesus, he will be resurrected and he will have life. Death for my grandfather was like sleep. It also gives us great assurance going into the future. We don't need to fear for our lives. We know where we're going. Death is not the end for the Christian. So as we engage our culture that is now terrified of death, we have this wonderful message of hope and security. We can serve our neighbours, sensibly of course, with all the necessary health precautions. We can serve them by calling them, delivering food or mowing the lawn. And as we do that, we'll have opportunities to share this hope and security we have. They will see we're different, that we don't have the same fear and uncertainty that the rest of the world shares. And it's all because of Jesus. Now, back then, after this monumental event, after the man Lazarus has been dead 4 days and raised back to life, and that the one who did that is promising resurrection and life to all who believe him, there were two reactions. There was two reactions from the Jews. The first reaction is that many believed in him. They became ones who would live even though they died. But the Pharisees, in order to protect their place in their nation and protect their nation from the Romans, they saw Jesus and that many people were believing in him, and they said, "We've got to kill him." And Caiaphas, the high priest that year, unknowingly prophesied, "You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." How utterly astounding. Here the Pharisees are with clear evidence that Jesus has the power to raise people back from the dead, and he's offering them eternal life to all who believe in him. But they are so concerned with what little they have and protecting that, that they decide to reject Jesus and kill him. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't reject Jesus and the offer of eternal life just to protect the little that you have. Jesus cares. I hope you've seen that throughout this passage. And Jesus cares about you. He went to the cross to die for you, and he rose from the dead and was resurrected. And his resurrection gives us hope and security because we know what awaits us. He is the resurrection and the life. All who believe in him will live even though they die. For those of you who are Christians, don't be shaken by this new situation. Continue believing in Christ, knowing that he cares for you, and knowing that for you, death is like sleep. But if you're not a Christian, I'd like to encourage you to spend some time to find out more about Jesus and put your trust in him and know the hope and security that Christians have because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Thank you.